You know, just before I jump in, there was something I saw last week. I was sharing with Pastor Judy and Bishop. How many have ever heard of Marie Woodworth Etter, Etter? It's an early day 1800s prophetess, I guess you could say, somebody who worked in that area, miracles and signs and wonders. I was watching just something recently. Sid Roth had this woman on, who is the great granddaughter of Marie Woodworth Etter. And she said Jesus appeared to her when she was very young, said, "You would walk in the office of a prophet in your latter years." Well, she's in her latter years. So that prophetic office is operating in and through her, and she began to share some things that God had spoken through her about certain things. And she has given prophetic utterances regarding Reagan when he was shot, and also the Iraq War and so forth. And I won't get into that, but she made some prophetic utterances about the United States. And I think it's significant, kind of bore witness with my spirit what she shared. Said, what's the path for the United States? And she said that the church must return to prayer. She basically said the church is asleep and is not praying. And she said, if the church does not pray, see, this is why you can go right, a prophecy should confirm, the word of God should support that. But she said, if the church does not pray, it will not go well. Bad things will happen. And she said that if the church does not wake up and pray, that the coming election in 2016, she said, this is what she said by prophetic utterance. She said, the election will be halted and put on hold, and the current president will stay in office if the church does not pray. And you all might say, well, you know, that's impossible. You know, our Constitution doesn't allow for that. Let me tell you something. Things can change because of circumstances in a country that could get that bad. But she said, if the church, she said, it doesn't have to be this way. If the church prays. And that's why when you heard Bishop and Pastor Judy sharing the other day, that's why I said I had to share it with them, because I said they were sharing about how the church is asleep. And we need to pray when we come together on Fridays. Bishop said there may be times you're moved upon, even in your main service, to stop and pray for the church to wake up. Pray for the church that they begin to pray and seek God. Because if we don't, things may not go well. Hallelujah. God is looking for his people, just like it says in 2 Chronicles. We need to humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. Then he will hear from heaven and heal our land. So I encourage you. Take time to pray. Take time to seek God. Pray for the body of Christ that it wake up. Because he's gonna get the attention, because his timetable, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. And he desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. For this is the will of God. And it's our will. And we don't want to see anything that would hinder the move of God. So we desire, and so we take time to pray. Not just for you and yours. Pray that the church wake up and seek God. That when we come not just looking for stuff for us, fixing stuff. Because if it don't go well, we all be seeking God. Amen. Saying, oh God, forgive me. We ask for your mercy. Hallelujah. So I encourage you to come out on Friday nights. Make time to come out in your day on Friday. Take the time, a couple of hours, and come out and pray with us and hook up, that we intercede and pray for the body of Christ, that it wake up and begin to seek Him. She made a comment about the Iraq war. She said it ended the way it did because they didn't. This is what she said. The Holy Spirit said, they didn't give me glory. See, whenever we don't give God glory, He don't like it. If things go well in your life, you need to give Him glory. You're walking through stuff, you need to give Him glory. Because He can raise up and He can put down. Everything we do, we need to give Him glory and thank Him. I'm telling you, it's a wake up. It's a wake up. It's a wake up. It's a wake up. He's coming soon. And we're praying for revival, but I'm going to tell you, part of that, what we were praying for the other night, is revival in the church to wake up and seek Him. Fall upon our faces and cry out to Him and say, oh God, have mercy upon us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just wanted to share that. Because if we don't seek Him, if it's all about just in everything we do, even looking to seek the lost, we need to give Him glory. We need to seek Him in all that we do and give Him praise and glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Time is short. Hallelujah. What does the scripture say? The fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few. We need to wake up. Wake up. Hallelujah. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians. Read this briefly here. Hallelujah. I'm going to just share a few moments. I'm still continuing for a few more lessons on the spirit of faith. And one thing that's absolutely sure for me, I know you know this, the whole Bible doesn't talk about the subject of faith. But the whole Bible has the capacity to produce faith for whatever you need from God. So it may not talk about faith, but it has the capacity to produce faith for whatever you need from Him. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So somebody said, oh, we're talking about faith again. Yeah, but if you need faith for money, you can get it from the Word of God. If you need faith to operate in the love of God, you get it from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to back up. I was going to read 13, but let me just back up to verse 6. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." Hallelujah. "Hath shined in our hearts," for what? "To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You know, when I think about that, just for a moment, this isn't the text today, but when I think about how God commanded the light to shine out of darkness into our hearts, that's why for me, and every now and then the Holy Ghost has to check us about how we speak, how we talk. Because our words should be full of faith and power to do something. And this right here is saying God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. Hallelujah. How many have that treasure in this, your earthen vessel? I do. I have that treasure inside my spirit. That the excellency of the power may be of God. See, that's giving Him the glory. And not of us. See, we can be troubled. See, I like this. We can be troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We can be perplexed. We don't know how it's going to work out, but we're not in despair. We can be persecuted. I don't think some of us even know what it is. I don't know what it means to be persecuted. Is leave this country and go over somewhere else, you find out. But not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. That's why I appreciate, we take time. We didn't do it today, but I was thinking about it. You take time out to speak life to one another. Yes. Speak life to one another. Yes. I speak life to you. That you will live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord. We speak life. Hallelujah. Verse 13. We. See, I like that word we. You know what that means? That's inclusive. Who wrote this letter? Paul did. He's saying, we, you and me, we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. You know what he's saying here? We have the same faith that David had. Amen. He's referring to Psalm 116, verse 10. He's saying that same spirit of faith that David had, we have it. We have that same spirit of faith that Daniel had when he went into the lion's den. We have that same spirit of faith, hallelujah, that Jesus had. Hallelujah. And then what does he say? I believed, therefore, what? Have I spoken? We also believe, and therefore speak. We were saying this before. Living faith speaks. If you're not speaking your faith, it's not living. It's head faith. Living faith, faith that's revealed to you, faith that's alive, faith that's not moved by what it sees, will speak to the conditions. And won't talk about the conditions, will speak to the conditions, will speak to the mountain. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe what? The conditions? Or you believe what you say? See, living faith has to speak. I believed, therefore I speak. So when I'm confronted with contrary conditions, hey, if you're alive and you're in this earth, you're going to be confronted with contrary conditions. You're going to be confronted with conditions that seem overwhelming or contrary. You need to know that God is for you. What does it say over here? We just got done reading it. It said, I can be perplexed or just, it says here, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. I know he's with me. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That blood gives me access into him. In him, I have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, by the faith of Christ. So this spirit of faith that we have, see, if I believe, then I speak. Otherwise, if I believe and I don't speak, I'm going to go as far as saying it's not faith. Because faith is an act. Faith acts. Let me ask this question. You know this. Somebody goes and they buy something, and what do they start doing? They put their money down, they bought something, they don't have it yet, but you act like you have it. You bought a ticket to go on a cruise. You paid your money, you act and you move as if you are going on that cruise. Faith acts. You bought a plane ticket. You get on the plane. You don't even know there's a pilot up front. You just telling everybody, I'm going to this destination. You have no idea you're even going to get there. But you confess that you are. You decree that I'm going over here. I'm going to this place. And you act as if you are. Seems kind of simple, but we believe, therefore we speak. So if it's faith, if it's the spirit of faith, you act. you speak, you decree what it is that you believe. If you believe and you are you know that you know that you're going to do something or you're going to receive something from God, you speak it. Now, I'll even go as far as saying, I'm going to read this because I didn't get a chance, kind of highlighting here a little bit before I give you some of the nuggets for today. But I was teaching this lesson a while ago, and I just highlighted, I didn't really spend much time on it. And this was on the sound of faith. Faith has a sound. And I shared this that when the Israelites were required of the Lord to march around the walls of Jericho, what was one of the things that was said? On the seventh day, you do what? So there was a sound that was released where faith was concerned. Faith has a sound. And that sound doesn't come from your head. Faith, when it's alive, comes from the heart of man. And it will change something. So I was just pondering that in that lesson, the sound of faith. And I was saying, well, what does faith sound like? What is the sound of faith? And just some thoughts here. The sound of faith is the word of God being spoken to your heart. It is the spoken word, not the read word. And the spoken word is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and revealing to your heart what you've read. He makes it come alive. So we take the spoken word, and that's why confession is so important, because we speak it, and we keep speaking it till we get it. What do we mean by that? When we get it, it's because the Holy Spirit reveals to our heart. He unfolds and provides light, just like what it says here. God commanded that the light shine out of darkness. The Holy Spirit will shine the light on the word that's been spoken or sown in your heart. He will reveal that. That then becomes alive. That's when faith comes. Faith comes when you see it, you know it, you understand it. At that point, when the Spirit of God reveals, faith comes. When it says faith comes by hearing, yes, it goes through these two ear gates here. But we're really talking about, where is the hearing? Down here. The hearing is here. Because you can hear and hear and hear and hear and hear and hear. And hear, but you don't hear here. Because when the hearing is here, when the revelation is here, faith is there.
Amen.
And when faith is there, what happens next? I need to do something. Even when it's contrary, even when it doesn't look like it can happen or be. When revelation comes, we start to act. In what? Faith. I remember years ago, it was in the 90s, I was home, had an extremely high temperature. And I stayed home, which was unusual. And it was, I don't know, 103 or whatever. It was a very high temperature. And I began to just purpose to laugh. I just started to go, ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. And I did that just like that for 10, 15 minutes. Ha, ha, ha. And the whole time I'm meditating on who I am in Christ and that I'm redeemed from this. And that the blood of Jesus has healed me. And as I did that, it began to stir in here. And I began to laugh a little harder. And a little harder. And a little harder. And a little harder. And this went on for a good time. And I got into a full-blown Holy Ghost laughter. I stepped over into the Spirit. And I got into laughter. I mean, just, it came out of here. I'm laughing now full. Ha, ha. And it's coming up out of my spirit. And when it subsided, the Holy Ghost spoke. Just as clear as I'm talking right now. And this is what he said. He didn't talk about healing, because I already knew I was healed. And I'm just laughing at the symptoms. And he started to talk about my finances. Oh. But I wasn't feeling good. And this is what he said, just as quick. He said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Man. And he knew that I would know what he meant. Because how many know we may be working the word in one area, but we're not working it in another area to the same level. And he said, if you'll just do the same thing that you're doing here, over here, he said, you won't have a room enough to contain the flow of money. So I tell you, my mama didn't raise me to be a dummy. When the Holy Ghost reveals, what are we supposed to do? Act on it. Did it change my conditions financially? No. But it started to. Little by little by little by little. Faith was alive at that point because the Holy Ghost did what? He revealed. And he said, if you'll just work the word, speak it, you believe it, but now you got to say something. Say what you believe. And so I began to say scriptures regarding finances like I was healing. And it changed things. So we are not bound by the conditions. That's why I appreciated the Holy Ghost saying a few services last, I think it was last Sunday. A word came out on the floor, said, new labels, new labels, new labels. I'm changing the label on you. Anybody remember that? See, you can change your conditions. It's already been done. But all you've got to do is believe and speak. We therefore, I believed and I speak. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is the one who is actually speaking the word of faith to us. It comes from him directly to us. He makes real to our heart the scriptures we have fed on. He breathes life into the scriptures that we have put in our heart. That's the sound of faith. He breathes life. He reveals. And the Word becomes alive. It begins to speak to us in our hearts. And we know that we can overcome. We know that we have what we're believing for. Because the Holy Spirit has breathed life. He's revealed those scriptures to us that we've been feeding upon. Amen. So the sound of faith comes from our heart. Now, just for a few minutes, I want to share these notes today. Let's turn to 2 Timothy for a minute. 2 Timothy, familiar scripture, 2 Timothy 1, 7. So faith that's, or something that is believed, I believe what God has spoken in His Word. If I believe it, I must speak it. Second Timothy 1:7, and I'm looking at this in the context of 2 Corinthians 4:13, which says, we have what? The same spirit of faith. Now, 2 Corinthians 1:7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But what has He given us? Power, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. The Amplified, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. The New Living, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And the Complete Jewish Bible is similar. So you can see here that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So faith and fear are opposite forces, are they not? So really we can say God does everything by faith and the devil does things by what? Fear. So if God has not given us a spirit of fear, and Paul writes, we having the spirit of what? Faith. I believed, and therefore I speak. You can look at this scripture and say these are some components of the spirit of faith. It's power and love. And the sound mind, those make up or can be components of the spirit of faith. Amen. When you operate in the spirit of faith, there's going to be power. Amen. The power of God. When you operate in the spirit of faith, there's going to be the spirit of love. And when you operate in the spirit of faith, there's going to be a sound mind, a disciplined mind and soul. So you can see that these things make up the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says that we have but of power. Now, that word, again, is dunamis, which is where we get our English words dynamo and dynamite. So we have a spirit of dynamite in us, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What does the scripture say? Acts 10:38. How God did what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and what? Power. Power. Dunamis power. Who went about to what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. When we operate with the spirit of faith, it comes and we operate with power. Holy Ghost power. Because what's happening? The Holy Spirit is breathing life into those scriptures that we fed upon. He begins to reveal to you who you are in Christ. That you can lay hands upon the sick, that miracles and signs and wonders will begin to move through you. You will not be ashamed or timid. That's the spirit of faith. Full of power, full of compassion and love. Hallelujah. And I appreciate, you know, the word that went forth this morning. We heard God speaking by a spirit that we are his ambassadors, his witnesses. What are you waiting for? Ask of me. See, the Holy Ghost was speaking this morning. He was saying, ask of me and I will do it. He's placed us in this community. Ask of the heathen. I will give them to you. I will do it. I will work through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to read this. This is Acts 1:4. Familiar. It says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. That was the word this morning. You are ambassadors. You are witnesses. And the power of God rests upon us and within us to do his work.
Amen.
So the spirit of faith believes and speaks. But these components, one of them is power.
Amen.
That the power of God would rest upon us. Fill us. In verse 8, let me read this here. See, if you're not timid, and if you continue reading this, it says, for God's not given us the spirit of fear or timidity. See, how does the power of God be hindered? How may that be hindered? Look at verse 8. Be not thou therefore what? Ashamed. See, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Hallelujah. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality through to light through the gospel. Verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, what does he say again? He says it twice. I am not ashamed, for I know. He knows whom he believed, and he's persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, or the return of the Lord. So when you know who you are, and you are bold to preach the gospel, the power of God will go with you. Amen. It'll operate in and through you. So we need not be ashamed of the gospel. Hallelujah. God is looking to use each one of us, wherever you are, with the people that you're interacting with. Share the good news. Hallelujah. Romans 1:16, you know this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also, what else? And to the Greek or the Gentile. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So one of the ingredients of the spirit of faith is the power of God. Another, what does it say here? He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. We've been hearing a lot about the love of God, operating in the love of God. How can you reach out in faith? How can you have a spirit of faith if you don't have love? You can't. Faith worketh by the love of God. That's Galatians 5:6. Faith which worketh by love. I like, there's a few other translations. The New Living says, faith expresses itself in love. Faith expresses itself in love. So when I know God loves me, when I know he cares for me, that he'll never leave me, he's got my best interest in heart. He's looking, he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me. When I know that, I can have faith in him. Amen. I can trust him. He said, I'm not a man that I will lie. I do not lie. So I can trust him, and I can have faith in him, and it's out of this love for God that I have faith in him. How can you have faith in someone that you're not sure if they love you or not? You can't. We can't even do that in the natural. How much more for a God who died for us? If you're not sure that he cares for you, how can you have faith in him? You can't. And it's out of this love for people that the spirit of faith will operate. And faith, the power of God, will operate through us, because the love of God for people will operate in and through us. And the miracles and the signs and the wonders will flow through us, because we love him And we love people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's the love of God. And so now we're looking at what's the last point here? A sound mind. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Let me read these two scriptures and we'll close. I'll read these here. 1 John 4:18, you can write this down. It says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." So when one's in fear, do they have a sound mind? No. But perfect love casteth out fear. Let me read this. This is 1 Corinthians 2. I'm going to pick up here in verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth." See, this is what we're talking about, the sound of faith. Why don't you go over there and look at this? Because go over to 1 Corinthians 2. And verse 12. It's talking about when faith is things that the Holy Spirit has revealed, you could say has taught us. It's revelation, it's revealed, it's unfolded. Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things," that's intimate knowledge of, "the things that are freely given to us of God." Verse 13, "which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth." He teacheth. He revealeth. He shines the light and breathes on those words, the scripture that's been put in our heart. He reveals. He teaches.
Hallelujah.
This is not head faith. This is heart faith.
Lord.
That the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Amen.
"But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are" what? "Foolishness unto him, neither can he know them." That means have intimate knowledge of. He can't know them. "Because they are spiritually discerned." Where are they discerned? In the heart, not the head. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." How do I know? How do I have the mind of Christ? The Holy Spirit teacheth. He teacheth. He reveals to you. The mind, the heart of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And when he teacheth and it's discerned, it's not foolishness.
Amen.
Unto us. I like this. This is a translation. It's called the Goodspeed's New Testament. G-O-O-D, Speed's New Testament. Verse 16, it says, I like this. It says, we share the thoughts of Christ. That's when there's a relationship between a husband and wife, you share one another's thoughts. You share your hearts because you're one. We are one with Christ and we share our thoughts. He shares his thoughts. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. The spirit of the world cannot understand and even hates the spirit of faith. Jesus experienced it. They couldn't receive him. They couldn't receive the spirit of faith. Where we even see in his own hometown, it says he couldn't heal but a few minor ailments. But the power of God was present to heal.
Amen.
And he marveled at their unbelief. Well, that's no different than today.
Amen.
So the power of God can be present here in this assembly, and you cannot. You could be a person who's sitting there trying to figure all this out. You're not going to figure God out. You have to receive him by faith. You've got to receive him and his word by faith. He cannot be understood with the mind. He has to be received with your heart. And the Holy Spirit will breathe life and revelation to what you decide to receive. Well, I don't understand this. I don't understand all of these things going on. I don't like this. I don't like that. Neither does God. But you know, when I was opening up talking about not praying, the conditions of this earth and the conditions that are going on in this country are going to be the responsibility of the church to change. You can't sit there and say, oh God, why didn't you do something? He said, I've given you power and the love of God and the power of God and the word of God. Why didn't you ask me? Why didn't you humble yourself before me? You are my witnesses here on this earth. Why aren't you doing something about it? That's what he'll say. I certainly don't want him to say that to me, because that's a hard saying. Because we have his word, we have his spirit, we have his name, we have the blood of Jesus, and the devil has been detoothed. So his power has been brought to naught. And all power has been given to him. And he said, then he did what? It says he gave it to the church. So we can't go to God and say, oh God, do something about it. Fix it, God. Fix it, God. He said, I gave you my name. I gave you the blood of Jesus. And you have authority here in this earth to fix it. You ask in my name and I will do it. But we got to ask. We got to ask. So the spirit of faith knows that God loves him and walks as a witness here in this earth and an ambassador to do what? Make an impact and change the circumstances. Hallelujah. That's why it's this season that we're in, it's critical. It's critical that we get on our knees and pray to Him and ask for mercy and forgiveness for the conditions that have been allowed to exist in this country. That righteousness hasn't been able to rule. But it's got to be done through prayer. We've got to seek Him with all of our heart. And when we do, see, I believe that we're going to see things happen where there's a revival of the church and it's going to wake up. And you're going to see the spirit of faith like David, like Daniel, and others in Jesus begin to operate, and people will come because they heard of the miracles. You know, when I watched this little television broadcast about Marie Woodworth Etter, it said that, and again, I have not read her life story and the miracles and things. I have not read that, but she highlighted some things and said that she would be ministering and go into what they call, the world called it, a trance. And she would stand, you know, in a position for 2 or 3 days and not move. And the world would come and look at her, and they'd poke her and prod her and stick things in her. And she was in the spirit. See, it was a sign to the world. And there's things that I believe the world is waiting for the sons of God to manifest and to be seen. And it's here, it's now. It's no more just sitting, coming to church as usual. Yes, we come, we fellowship, but it's to go out and impact.
Amen.
Make an impact with the spirit of love, with power, and with a sound mind.
Glory.
Spending time feeding upon the Word of God and prayer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know when Mother Dupree was here over the summer, she just kept speaking by the Spirit, more prayer, more prayer, more prayer, more prayer. How many remember that?
Yes.
More prayer, more prayer. You need to pray more, pray more, pray more. Travail more, groan more, pray. God is pulling on our hearts to pray more so that things will go right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Not just in our life, but the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are going to operate in the love of God and the power of God. One last thing, talking about this woman who's the great-granddaughter of Marie Woodworth Etter. She began to talk about her dad, her father. Now, she's up in age. She started to talk about her dad and said, "My dad was a minister, a preacher of the gospel, but he worked as a butcher to make ends meet, and he was cutting meat, and he cut his finger off. He grabbed his finger and he went to the doctor." Now, she said this is in the 40s. And he said to the doctor, "Sew my finger back on." He cut it off, literally, the whole finger. "Sew it on." And the doctor said, "No, I refuse to do that." He said, "I said, sew it on." And he said, well, if I'm going to sew it on, then he said, you'll get gangrene and all these other kind of things. He said, sew the finger back on. And he said, then you have signed a release. And he did. And he said, she was a little girl. And she said her dad got up in the pulpit in pain with this finger sewed on. And he went to preaching. And he said, when he pointed, the finger came off. And a new finger was there. Now that isn't the rest of the story. She said that finger that came off hit a paraplegic. And that man jumped up out of the wheelchair and was healed. Signs and wonders. Miracles. That's a miracle. Said when his finger flew off, there was another full-grown finger right where the other one was. See, that's what you call, you know, he operated in a level of faith and trust in God. And I believe the church needs to wake up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to see it. We're going to see it because it's that season. That's what I say. Bless his name. Let's take a moment and bless his name. Father, we bless your name. Father, we thank you. Oh, we bless you. Father, we ask for your mercy. We ask and call upon your mercy and help. We look to you. We bless you. We bless you. Oh, we bless you, Lord. For you are good. And your mercy endureth forever. Your mercies are new every morning. Father, we pray for the church, the body of Christ. We ask and intercede for the body of Christ. We ask you, Father, to forgive us for being asleep. But we pray and intercede for the body of Christ that it wake up. And we come against division. We come against that which divides the body. And we stand in the gap. Oh, sekeshe, masake beshe, oh, bashkete, vendeshke proshkataba, sheneboshe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hasake beshe, tegebeshe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm hearing down in my spirit. I just heard this. He said a great awakening is happening in the body of Christ. A great awakening is happening in the body of Christ. A great awakening is happening in the body of Christ. It's a great awakening. Great awakening. Great awakening. Time is short. Father, we thank you today. Father, we take time out of our day to not be so busy, to stop and pray, stop and lift up the body of Christ, and pray and intercede for it. Every joint needs each other. And when parts are not functioning right, we pray and intercede that they do function properly. And that the body be united. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this great house. Use us, Father, to pray. Use us to intercede that things will go well in our country. Things will go well in the church. In Jesus' name.